not working at all.
I see.
Let's just look at the scripture quickly. It's already on the screen there. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. What we have to meditate on as it relates to the wandering Christian bringing him or her back is something that if we were to spend a whole day, we would not exhaust it. And we ask ourselves, is it worth doing? Is it worth spending time going to bring a wandering Christian back? Is it worth it? If it's worth it, how do we do it? What results will it produce? But first of all, let us understand what we mean by the wandering Christian. What does it mean to wander? That is to move aimlessly from place to place without a clear direction. If you are moving aimlessly from place to place without a clear direction, you are wandering. And in fact, in more disciplined societies, if people are seen just moving aimlessly, at times they are arrested because you don't seem to have any purpose. What does it mean to restore? It means to bring back, to reestablish, or to resettle. So, in this case, the reference the scripture is making has to do with the one who is wandering, the one who needs to be restored. And it is the Christian who is wandering and needs to be restored. One who has erred or who is erring from the truth. Who are these Christians? These Christians, there is a possibility that it is you, it is me. It could be a member of the family, a son, a daughter in the family. It could be one of the parents of the family. It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your wife, your husband. Do you also know that it can be your pastor who is wandering? It can be your pastor, and that should not be news. And so this is something we have to take very seriously, because there is a thin line between when we are walking along the path of truth and when we veer from it to the path of ungodliness. Does the wandering Christian get up in the morning and begin to move up and down? I'm sure you understand that it can be that. It will not be a question of just waking up and moving up and down. That's not what we are referring to. But it can be a question of sitting down in the church, in the church pew, even on the altar, and allowing your mind to stray. Allow your mind to stray into all sorts of things, all kinds of things. It can also be that you are living your life as usual, but the path you are treading as you live your daily life is very different from what it used to be. You are beginning to see new examples. Those things that used to appeal to you as a child of God no longer appeal to you. Somebody is saying, let's go to church. And your mind is saying, it's boring. Church is so boring now. Let's go for choir practice. How many times do we go for choir practice? I'm tired. Everything, virtually everything you used to enjoy, your peace, your joy, seem to be going. That is the wandering Christian. You didn't used to lie before. Now you tell a little. And over time you expand it. And you say, God understands, it's just to get out of that little trouble. Then before you know it, you are really telling lies, such that members of your family will begin to wonder, what is happening? This degree of lying. The wandering Christian is not difficult to locate. He's just sitting next to you. You may even be the one. I may be the one. So let's take this very seriously. Is the backslider also, does the backslider fall into this category of Christian? Yes. And no. Yes, because wandering implies loss of direction and purposeless walk, which is as good as backsliding. No, because the wandering Christian may really desire to grow in the faith. It's not that he doesn't want to grow. You may desire to grow in the faith, but in the course of moving from one source or the other in search of direction, I'm looking for direction. He moves from one place to the other. In the course of doing that, he moves away from the right direction. He begins to worship men. He begins to put his trust in the kind of myths, the kind of stories that over time is now beginning to sound like truths, but is far away from the truths of the Bible. In seeking direction, he has been misled. Misled by leaders within the church. Misled by teachers within the church. Misled by elders. Some are on their own. You cannot draw a line between spiritualists who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You cannot draw a line between them and true men of God who are speaking the word of God. So he has strayed. She has strayed. She begins to do a number of things that are not in keeping with the scriptures. He begins to lay emphasis on things where on places and things where emphasis shouldn't be laid. He begins to understand that anointing oil is now more powerful than the word of God. He begins to understand that packing sand from a particular location will heal more than the word of God. Many practices that amount to syncretism, mixture of religions, begin to creep in, mixing African traditional practices with the word of God. Your faith begins to wane. Your faith begins to wane, and you are only looking for substance. It's only when you touch something you know you've touched the Lord. As whereas in the beginning you were condemning images. Why these images of this and that? The Lord has said we should not make molten images. Now you want them. You want small images to hold. You want something to tie around your neck. You want something to wear around your waist. There was one of the most revered and loved men of God in this country. Met with his men for a very high powered spiritual meeting. All men of God. And while he was talking, the Holy Spirit ministered to him that many of the people here are putting on charms. And they are saying they are elders, they are pastors, they are men who are leaders of this church. I want you to confirm this because it should be addressed. And the man of God said, contrary to what he planned that day, he now said, look, all of us, we go in to that place and strip. Wanted everybody to strip. And what they saw, shocking. People were actually putting on charms. They will come and sing and dance and give testimonies. But they were holding on to things. They were erring from the truth. That's just to tell you that the erring Christian is not difficult to come by. Your spouse can begin to err and you will just take it that, oh, things are normal. That's your husband or your wife. So we should take this seriously. A child of the home begins to err. We take bringing these people back seriously. Now let me read the translation of James 5, 19 and 20, as it is rendered in the Message Bible. The Message Bible translates it this way. My dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives. You will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. I like that rendition. Especially in times like this, when we are dealing with a pandemic, it throws some further light on it. So it's telling us, don't write these people off. The wandering Christians should never be written off. This attitudinal change of not writing them off is important, because that motivates the first and subsequent steps to be taken towards restoring them. If you don't write them off, then you can begin to take steps to get them restored. And we will look at these steps. Go after them. Step number one, you are going after them. Take it in his imagery of rushing after them. Say, hey, he has taken the wrong way. The road has bifurcated left and right. This is right, this is wrong. Rush after that one. Go after them. Why should you go after them? Because our Master Jesus did so, and he taught us to do so. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Read on. Let's read on. Verse 7, I mean. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The emphasis on verse 6, really. When we went astray, every one of us, he went after us. He went after us to the point of shedding his blood. He went after us. Matthew 12, 20 to 21. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flask he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. You say, keep it there first. When a reed is bruised, say, what am I doing with it? Just push it away. And that's the attitude of some of us. I've tried that. Just forget about that one. There are muscles. I better go for fresh throats and follow them up if they are willing. But this is saying, when the reed is bruised, the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, he did not break it. The smoking flax, he did not quench it, because he knows that with more fuel, it will burn and burn bright, till he sends forth justice to victory. Verse 21. And in his name, Gentiles will trust. And that is the reason we are here. We, Gentiles, before. And now, sons. Hallelujah. Our Master taught us to do that. If we read the same Matthew chapter 18, verses 12-14, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek one that is straying? Go on. And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices over all the sheep. Sorry, he rejoices more over all the sheep that than over the 99 that did not stray. Rejoicing over this one. This one is very precious. Because the enemy was bent on taking him away from the fold. But I brought him back. Next, 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. One of these erring ones, one of these wandering ones should perish. It's never the will of our Father. So the Good Shepherd showed the example. show the examples to parents, to pastors, to elders, to leaders, even to us children. We can help our parents to get back. Our God is the only hope for the wanderer. Let's look at Psalm 107, verse 4. When the wanderer continues to wander and wander. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Next. Verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Next. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He's the only one that does that. So we take example from him. The second step is to make friends with them and be there praying earnestly for them. Study the word together, placing emphasis on core issues of the word. Core issues of the word is love, forgiveness, holiness, faith, among others. Rescue them. Step 3, rescue them by so doing, and like Nathan did with David, 2 Samuel 12, that story we know very well. 2 Samuel 12, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew together with him and with his children. It ate of their own food and drank from their own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfarer man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. We stop there because you know the story. Of course, if the man who has done this will surely die, then David, you are to die. Because you are the man. And the point that we are making here is that we should rescue them by doing what Nathan, rekindle their ability to judge between good and evil. The wandering Christian gets to a point where he can no longer judge between good and evil. And so he begins to do evil and good, mixes them up. Let's get to that point where the Lord will put his word in our hearts and in our mouths to speak it, to rekindle this tendency for the Christian to differentiate between good and evil, so that he knows that, oh, so this thing I've been doing is wrong. I see. So go about it diligently. You don't just do it haphazardly or anyhow. Do it diligently. Let's look at Luke 15, 5 to 8. Let's look at that. And when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. We're not talking about his lost sheep. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. What are we saying? This step we are talking about is saying, be diligent. When you are diligent with the straying or the wandering Christian, you take your time to show affection, to show love. Like this shepherd, he just carried the sheep on his shoulders. I love you. The person will look true to you and say, with all this nonsense I'm doing, he still loves me. I love you. Invite the person. Befriend the person. It's important. Be diligent. Now let's also look at John 21, 15 and 16. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, you love me more than this. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lamb. He said to him again in a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Now, there is a difference between feeding the lamb and feeding the sheep. And if we want to get the wandering Christian back, it's good for us to know the state that Christian is. Is that Christian still a sheep that we need fleck, we need grass, fodder? Or is a lamb that might need milk so that we can give the right food to the wandering Christian? We know at what point we can meet the person. At times they've fallen so far away, and one slot of one easy point of straying and wandering is when God has not called you to a particular thing and you go into it, such as going into politics. Many Nigerian Christians, and I'm not saying nominal Christians, I'm saying born again Christians, that many people could vouch that this is a real child of God. Many have gone into Nigerian politics and they have wandered and wandered, and they've wandered into prison. No more Christ in their lives. So it is important that in trying to rescue them, we will know what point and what to do. 4, rescue precious lives and restore gently with meekness. When you are restoring, let it be gentle and show meekness. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. When we present this holier than thou, more righteous than thou attitude, and make it look like we can never sin, we cannot even, not even for one split second, then the person, oh, you've already judged me, so what am I looking for? God would have condemned me. So let me say where I am. Step number 5, encourage him, encourage them with testimonies, with precious promises. You can testify. You have testimonies to share. God's precious promises are particularly effective. Let's look at that one in Isaiah 61, verse 7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Tell somebody who has been just all over the place in frustration and all that. You will have double honor instead of confusion. They shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they will possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Hallelujah. I hope that promise comforts you too. I hope it does. Jeremiah 29:11. All of us can recite that. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Some of them have become so hopeless. They will not express it, but all their entire life and living shows that they've lost hope. This is the kind of promise that will reassure them. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We learn faith building. Build our faith in him. Then 6, trust God to strengthen them as he strengthens you. As he strengthens this one you are trying to lead back, let him strengthen you. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then, looking at Psalm 23:1-3, upon which we may be concluding now. Let that one and let yourself know that the Lord is my shepherd. He's his shepherd. He shall not want. When we say, I shall not want, it has deep meanings. I will not lack anything. He will provide for me, including providing for me in times of adversity, providing for me the grace and strength to overcome trials and temptation, so that I will be strong in my time of trial. That is part of not wanting. In my time of trial, and encourage that one. This same God who is providing everything, who can provide everything, will provide for you to overcome this particular situation. Verse 3. He restores my soul. It is the Lord who will restore the soul of the wandering Christian and lead him in the path of righteousness. It's only the Lord, not you, who is trying to do it for his name's sake. What would we have achieved by restoring one wandering Christian? What would you have achieved? You would have prevented, according to the translation I emphasize, the epidemic of wandering. Many Christians are just going from one place to the other. Their minds are not settled. They don't know the Jesus they serve. They rate him with just anyone and anything and any supposed man of God or woman of God. Some people are in the church, they are talking about pastor this, pastor that, I like pastor this, pastor that, and all these are away. You gather, you go around collecting experiences and getting confused at the end of the day. If we can follow these ones up systematically, we'll bring them to the fold. Then they will begin to know. They will not be gapping between two opinions, not knowing what is right and differentiating it from what is wrong. So, by so doing, you will have also saved your own soul. You will also have saved many other Christians. And like this, they said, you get Christians established and the Lord is pleased with you, because just as he is rejoicing over this soul, you are also rejoicing. Hallelujah. Now it's time for us to contribute to this. I want questions. I want questions, and I want us to discuss this meaningfully, because I know that in this assembly of Christians in our Savior's Chapel, a number of us are straying. A number of us are straying. So let's have questions. Moderator.